Now, we just heard from Reverend Sharpton talking about how diverse Black leadership has been in style and approach, but how well do different generations work together and who's coming up in the ranks? Here to talk about passing the torch is James Rucker. He's executive director and co-founder of the San Francisco-based group Color of Change. Their projects have included web-based organizing for the protest around the Gina Six case. Also with us, Charles Steele Jr. He's national president and CEO of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. It's a civil rights organization co-founded by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Gentlemen, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
So, Charles, we just heard Reverend Sharpton talking about the diversity of Black leadership. What do you think is the hallmark of Black leadership today, or some of the diversity?
Well, first of all, prior to my coming to SCLC's president and CEO, currently I've been here 4 years. And prior to coming here, I envisioned an institution in terms of the international and global concerns of civil rights and human rights in terms of SCLC. 5 hours prior to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. being assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee, he looked over to his first lieutenant, one of his first lieutenants, Dr. Bernard Lafayette, and said, "Lafayette, now is the time to institutionalize and internationalize SCLC." Why am I reflecting and referring back to that particular moment? Due to the fact that under my administration, president and CEO of SCLC, we have institutionalized the movement here at our international headquarters, as well as internationalized it. Due to the fact that there are many persons in terms of the hip-hop generation who have come to me, and particularly being here in Atlanta, Georgia, who said, "Why you all didn't convey or transform the information to us? We want to be a part of the civil rights movement, but we feel that we've been left behind. We are empty on the inside."
Well, let me ask you specifically, how do you reach out to people from the hip-hop generation in that case?
Well, first of all, you make them feel inclusive. You include them. And they told me themselves that they felt that they've been excluded in terms of the civil rights movement, that they've been beat upon, that they've been looked down upon, and that they want to be a part of this, but they don't even know the history of the movement. And they're saying that because you're institutionalizing SCLC, now we can be trained and we can lead from our perspective in terms of our culture, because it is a culture. And secondly, we need to recognize the hip-hop culture and make it a part of the civil rights movement. Let me say this in our pause. We're starting a hip-hop institute at Knoxville College in Knoxville, Tennessee. Well, we're actually going to have a hip-hop institute with George Curry, who's working along with me, who's chairman of the board of Knoxville College, and we're going to have a curriculum that people can actually go and study not only civil rights in terms of what we are and where we were 50 or 60 years ago, but also to embark upon the future.
Charles,
it would be the hip-hop culture and the civil rights movement.
Okay, well, I interrupt only because we have a little bit of time now, but we're going to come back later. I want to give you a chance to jump in before we do, James.
Sure.
Quickly, how do you reach out to the hip-hop generation, which seems to have responded to your kind of electronic organizing?
Yeah, well, one is, you know, basically doing work on issues that matter. And, you know, if you look at the case of the Gina Six, I mean, I think what was very, you know, important to take note of is that, you know, you could be 15 years old, you could be, you know, 85 years old and understand that nooses communicate a very, very serious and dangerous message to Black folks. And the organizing method, I mean, there was a degree of a very high degree of activity online, Facebook groups, MySpace groups, that tied back to the actions both online in terms of lobbying the governor, you know, to actually going to Gina. So I think part of it is, you know, being relevant in terms of the issues that you're working on to young people. And then also I think it's being plugged into folks where they are. And if folks are hanging out on MySpace or Facebook, creating opportunities for them to engage that exist there, I think is a big part of it.
All right. Well, Charles and James, stick around for a few more minutes. We're going to take a quick break. This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Let's jump back into our conversation about passing the torch of leadership in African-American communities. We are speaking with Charles Steele Jr., president and CEO of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, plus James Rucker, executive director of the organization Color of Change. So welcome back, gentlemen. James, you were just talking about issue-based organizing. You've got a name for yourself among a wider audience with the Gina 6 case. What are you working on right now?
Yeah, well, there are several issues. In fact, the Gina 6 cases aren't actually resolved, so there's still work we're doing there. Part of what we're trying to do is highlight, you know, from the beginning, really, the case of the Gina 6 is one instance of the kind of unequal justice that happens in places all around the country, actually. Looking at, for instance, crack versus powder cocaine sentencing, we've got, you know, many, many black men locked up, in particular not just black men, but locked up for very long periods of time for possessions of very small amounts of crack cocaine. For powder cocaine, the sentences are much less, and you have, you know, it's a kind of wider audience that's being dealt with. So there's basically unequal justice work. There's still a lot of unfinished Katrina work. And fundamentally, what I think is important just in terms of as we look at kind of old versus new is having a model focused on empowerment and focused on individuals, wherever they are, whatever generation they are, from being talked to in a way that resonates with them and having an opportunity to make change happen. And part of the beauty of the web is that it enables us to do that in very large numbers across geography. There are times when it does come down to the ground, like it did in Gina, but there's so much work that happens, you know, in the halls of Congress that doesn't create, where we don't have those kind of images and things that will move the public. It takes grassroots organizing, you know, kind of on a constant level to make change happen.
Charles, we recently saw a new president-elect of the NAACP, the youngest ever in history, man in his mid-30s. How do you bring people in to the SCLC, not necessarily as the president, but people in key leadership positions? Who do you have on tap who, say, is in their 30s or even 20s?
Well, we have quite a few young people that's working with us, in particular the hip-hop generation. I'm making a special effort to deal with that particular aspect of culture that we must mesh and bring together. In terms of the hip-hop culture, I'm working with the hip-hop caucus and the hip-hop culture generally, but the hip-hop caucus with Reverend Yearwood. We're working together on voter registration and education in terms of 645,000 database hip-hop persons that's actually committed to work in the civil rights movement as well as holistically throughout America in terms of the issue-based concerns that we will bring to the forefront. But the point being is that SCLC is known as the organization around the world with the moral authority. What do you mean by that? I mean that we changed the whole world and we never fired a shot. People throughout the world are asking us to teach them. So we started to implement through curriculums, through high school, as well as four-year institutions, master's degree program, PhD programs, where people can actually study and get degreed in the Kenyan theory. This is a theory that's basically teaching the nonviolent approach to education as well as resolving issues of concern that conflict on a cultural basis as well as racially and also economically, where people can resolve their issues nonviolently through the methods and principles and mindset of Dr. King and others in the civil rights movement rather than using violence as an alternative.
James, how well do you and your organization play in the sandbox with others? I know that's, you know, a question that you're going to say, oh, great, great, great. But who do you network with in terms of other organizations?
Yeah, well, we've made a habit of trying to reach out to really anyone and everyone who can play a role. In fact, you know, what we really like to do is find folks who are doing work and it's successful. It's about amplifying their message and getting more folks engaged in the work. And, you know, of course, there are challenges. I think one of the things that we sometimes fall prey to, and I think this is true with any kind of marginalized group, is, you know, folks will kind of try to claim territory and that kind of thing. And I really think part of, you know, what's going to make this work, you know, reach more people and have a bigger impact is getting beyond that and recognizing, actually, as Reverend Sharpton said, I mean, there are many folks who are needed. There are many organizations that are needed. And I do think that we need to learn, you know, to kind of really take that to heart. One of the things I think we also have to be able to do is challenge each other, right? Hold each other accountable. And that's something that I think we still need some practice with.
What about, you've mentioned specific issues that you're working on, but what about the sort of umbrella of how well African Americans do overall in terms of racial justice, economic justice, et cetera? And what I mean by that is that a lot of the framing around the civil rights movement was about the color line, which was a legal, hard and fast rule.
Right.
And we have a lot of issues, but there's not necessarily any one line in the sand.
Right.
James first and then Charles. How do you deal with the fact that there's not just one issue now? There was never just one, but that there's not one color line.
Right. No, I think that's a critical point, because I think it also it permeates the whole landscape of organizing and change making. We don't have, again, this kind of simple imagery, these situations where it's change this law, create a new law that will, you know, deliver some big change. So yes, I think it's actually engaging people in the practice of making change. You know, we all have our families, our lives, but to feel like there is a group of individuals, there's a collective through which I can make change happen, I think that is a big part of the key, actually, to making it actually sustainable.
Charles, what about the color line? It no longer exists, but discrimination does.
Well,
how do you deal with that?
First of all, the color line still exists. You know, let's not be misled of thinking that we have reached a certain plateau of utopia where you don't have the racial divide or the racial issues of concern that you had in the 50s or the 60s. You still have those concerns. The big three in terms of the evil concerns in society when Dr. King was around was basically racism, poverty, and violence. And I challenge anyone today to deal with those three issues or concerns: racism, poverty, and violence. We must realize that we are not there. We'll never get there. And you have to fight on a daily basis. And the fact that we have made some accomplishments, sure, that's fine. But you still have the racial divide of the day that you had in the 50s and the 60s. It just come in a different form.
Charles,
yes.
How do you get people involved who may not agree with you on that? I mean,
well, they didn't agree with Dr. King. They didn't agree back 50 years ago when we told them about the same ills in society, racism, poverty, and violence. People would never agree in terms of the real concerns of issue because of their lackadaisia in terms of wanting to take on the giants. But I tell people the giants will always come, and they keep on coming. So what did we have just a year ago? The reversal of Brown versus the Board of Education, May 17, 1954. We don't have that. That was the catalyst of the civil rights movement. We don't have that. And the deciding vote was by a black man. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm.
We don't have Brown versus the Board of Education anymore. That was the first act in terms of the civil rights movement. That motivated Miss Mamie Till Mobley, Mamie Till, Emmett Till Mama, to open that casket of August 1955 because of Brown versus the Board of Education. What motivated Rosa Parks, Mamie Till, when she opened that casket in Chicago on that hot 100-degree day when she let the whole world see the racist mindset of the Jim Crowism out of Mississippi. That motivated Rosa Parks, December the 1st, 1955.
All right, James, very briefly, when you think about that long legacy and litany of things that have happened in the past, there's not always going to be a Gina Six that should just be the issue around the torch. Give me a word or two about what do you think the key issue is that you're dealing with?
Well, the issue that we really, I mean, fundamentally, we are trying to get people engaged in the practice of making change. And so there are situations like the Gina Six where our hope is that, you know, one on the one hand, we deliver justice or we help justice be achieved for these young men. But there are obscure, there are things, for instance, like education, and that's one of the places where we want to focus very big, because we don't have it's not like there's Jim Crow, it's not like there's official or unofficial segregation in kind of a simple way,
James.
But you have schools that have been failing for decades these same kids.
All right, well, James, Charles, thanks so much for the spirited discussion.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Charles Steele Jr. is the national president and CEO of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and James Rucker is the executive director and co-founder of Color of Change.